been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, wherever you hear podcasts. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, man. It's good to be back for another great week. How are you, man?
I am doing great. Before we start talking about this last game against the Redskins, I just want to say a big shout out to all of Ravens Nation. It has been so cool getting your iTunes reviews for it's still up there if you want it for the intro song that we have. I had no idea Ravens Nation was just worldwide. It's so cool to talk to everybody on Twitter and on iTunes and everything. So cool to connect with all you guys all across the world. Baltimore Ravens flying high all over the place. But let's talk about it, Josh. You and I, man, we are Baltimoreans. You got to be at that last game up against the Redskins. Didn't turn out the way that we wanted. But with this game, you know, it doesn't really matter because it's preseason. It's more about who's going to make a splash and who didn't. But before we talk into specific players, tell me, what was it like at the stadium for this game? Because we're up against the Redskins. They were a team that's not too far away. So I have to assume there had to have been a good amount of Redskin fans there.
I mean, there was. There was a decent. What really irked me is, and I've never seen this, is, okay, to start my trip down, we made it in good time. You know, I finished my fantasy football draft. Like,
is this like right your fourth one? Like, because you got like eight leagues or something.
Yeah, I'm in seventh ones this Saturday. So, last night I did draft two Ravens back to back. I got Gilmore and Justin Tucker.
So, there you go.
Yeah, and I tried to get Aiken, but he was taken. So, but anyway, I'm in many leagues, but that's besides the point. So, to start my trek, made it down to the city. I finished my draft around 6:10. We made it to the city way before 7 o'clock for a 7:30 kickoff. I'm telling you what, dude, around the stadium, it was gridlock. I don't know if anybody was down there, but I'm like, what the heck is going on, dude? 295 was backed up. Key Highway was backed up. 95 was backed up trying to get the 53 exit going on 395. I was like, you kidding me? Because I tried to get smart, dude. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to go take Russell Street, go down around, and take 295 for a section, come back up. Well, I think it was all the DC traffic coming up because it was just gridlock everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it was. So, but getting in the stadium, we actually, believe it or not, walking past the Horseshoe Casino, I saw the Steve Smith touchdown on TV. I missed it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I missed the Steve. And I'm like, because I heard it, because we were walking to the stadium. Here's the thing. I mean, I have so much going on right now, it's ridiculous, but to set the stage, I found a loophole in the Baltimore City system. I found free parking. I don't know how that was. It was a blessing.
How is that possible?
Free parking. I don't know. It was crazy. To set the story, it was, I don't know, because traffic was so bad. We were, like, stuck in traffic for, like, literally, it was, like, almost 7:30, and I'm like, we're going to get the game at, like, 9 o'clock. So I pulled in the side street to get smart to try to cut traffic, and it was a dead end. But there was a cop sitting down the street. So I'm like, okay, what's going on here? But I saw a guy up in the car ahead of us talking to him, and a woman was walking. So we turned around, and I thought she was waving us down. So the set stays there. So I was like, hey, I thought she was like a lot attendant or something, because I seen cars parked. So I was like, excuse me, can you park here? She goes, yeah, I just asked that cop. He says, so long as there's no parking signs, you can park here. So we basically looked around, and all it says was no trespassing on like the lot next to us, but there was no parking, and there's cars there, so we just like, screw it, we're parking. And I found free parking in Baltimore City the night of the game.
That's crazy. So, that's impossible to find.
I know where it is, so I'm the secret. So if anybody wants to know, but
write us an iTunes review, and Josh will tell you where there's free parking.
Exactly. I got free parking in Baltimore City game day. But anyway, we get there, and I knew we were going to miss something because the fireworks shooting off for the anthem, blah blah. Well, because Horseshoe Casino, we took that route, and there's open air seating outside, and it was open, and we saw on the TV because it just happened because I kept tracking it on my phone, and I'm like, I just hope we don't miss anything in the first quarter. And someone's like, oh, and someone said, I heard everybody yelling. I'm like, man, the Ravens probably did something. And I look inside, and it was like 13 minutes to go. Like, they pretty much score with like 2 minutes into the game. And I mean, I watched countless replays, and they should have replayed in the stadium since I've been in there. But yeah, I missed the C. Smith touchdown, but we got to our seats just in time. And I saw the Terrell Suggs interception. So I saw that. There was a good amount of Skins fans. I mean, it was mixed, but it was more Ravens, obviously dominant. But the crowd was okay. And I mean, during the fight, on the scrum from the field, I mean, we didn't really get into it fan-wise in the stands. I mean, it wasn't your typical, it was just, you know, like, come on, you know, like the bickering back and forth, like, you guys are picking a fight this preseason that wasn't called for. I loved it. You know, I loved Harbaugh running across the field. I love Steve Smith standing up for his team. What I think in the whole situation is, and this is how screwed up the league is, and I know, and I will state this. I know for a fact that the NFL, Brandon, as you would agree, it's about protecting the asset, the quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Terrell Suggs took flack all week for the hit in Philadelphia, which deemed legal by the NFL. And here it is. You get the Redskins linebacker pile driving Aiken into the ground, and he literally picked him up, slammed it down like it was WWE or UFC. And I'm like, but though he doesn't get flagged. I'm like, I don't know if he did or not. I can't even remember. He doesn't really get reprimanded. He should have been thrown out of the game, but they threw out Culver and Steve Smith for fighting along to the side. And Culver was throwing punches at Steve Smith's helmet. Kind of like the wrong two guys got thrown out, and the other guy didn't even get thrown out of the game. I'm like, this is what's wrong with the league. I'm like, the fan media base was up so all week in Philly, but that was legal. What the Redskins guy did was illegal, but they don't say nothing. So I think it's just hypocritical. But I loved Harbaugh defending his troops as he should have done. The guy in front of me was like, Harbaugh's going to get thrown out of the game for running across the field. I'm like, no, he was reining his players in. He wasn't going over there arguing. So, I knew exactly what he was doing.
If it would have been a regular season game, Harbaugh definitely would have been in trouble, and he would have been taken out of the game at that point. But given that it is preseason, things are a little bit more lenient with about that. But I think what happened was this fight kind of broke out, even in preseason. Obviously, the referees wanted to make an example and show, like, this isn't going to happen all night. So they took out Steve Smith and whoever the Redskins player was, just to kind of prove a point that, you know, this isn't going to stand. Absolutely was the wrong call for those guys to go. But it's okay if Steve Smith leaves a game, doesn't get hurt in the preseason, because injuries have been a huge factor for this Ravens team this preseason.
Right.
I think we are tied with the Jets with most injuries this preseason this year. So what did you think of Steve Smith getting ejected? Because, like, I was proud of Steve Smith taking up for Kamari Aiken and being, you know, a strong voice for this team. But at the same time, if this were the regular season and he was ejected, I would be ticked off at Steve Smith because I would want him to play the rest of that game.
Yeah, I mean, cooler heads got to prevail, but you know, Steve Smith, he's fiery. I think now that it happened in preseason, I think it was kind of good for us in a sense, because now the team could probably already have a meeting talked about and said, look, that was okay, but look, this can't happen in a Pittsburgh game. It can't happen in the Denver game. It can't happen in any regular season game, because Steve Smith's our best receiver right now, and we don't need our players out there mixing it up, getting thrown out of game. It's almost like an injury, you know. It's like these guys, it's actually worse, because obviously, well, I think an injury is worse, but anyway, you can't get thrown out of game. What I think, and then I know you wanted to bring this up too, you were talking to me about it, the halftime thing with Harbaugh being coarse. What's your opinion on that? Because I know, you know, part getting thrown out of game, I know Harbaugh's been picked apart this week, so. By the media. So what are your thoughts, man? And I'll give you mine. Absolutely.
I'm going to try to see, like, all sides of the story for this halftime report. Harbaugh was extremely rude to that sideline reporter. There's no getting around that. But, and I'm trying not to, like, say, like, oh, well, he should have been nicer to him or whatever. There was a lot going on. There was a fight. There were injuries. There was a lot going on. Harbaugh still had to win a game at the end of the day, and his team was losing going into halftime. So, obviously, Harbaugh had other things on his mind than, I need to give a good interview. So the fact that he was giving those types of answers, I don't fault him for, because he didn't want to do that interview. Like, he has to, because it's bad manners if you don't. But, like, I think it's Justin Schlegel or John Muma, a local comedian here in the Baltimore area, said something about, like, after you go up to a UFC fighter who lost a match and was like, what was going on in there? You were just getting pounded and pounded in the face. What were you thinking? And the UFC fighter just says, well, I was getting hit in the face a lot, and I just kept thinking, man, I gotta stop getting hit in the face. I hate those types of interviews because, like, what do you expect Harbaugh or anybody in that situation to say? Your team is losing. You guys gave up an interception in the last 2 minutes. What do you think of that? Like, is he going to expect him to be like, well, I think these guys should do so much better and da 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 and blah blah blah. No, he's ticked off. All this happened right before halftime. So, of course, he's going to be like short with the guy, because he's going to go into the locker room and scream at his players, telling them they're not playing hard enough or tough enough or they got to man up. You know, you're just, when you got that kind of stuff in your mind, you're going to be rude. When I'm hungry, man, I am the rudest jerk in the world. But you give me, you know, a slice of pizza or something, hey, you know, it's all laughs and everything. Harbaugh, yes, he was rude. Do I wish he was a little bit nicer to the reporter? Sure. Do I think the reporter should have thought up some better questions than that? Absolutely. But Harbaugh was in a bad mood. Stuff was going on. He had other things to take care of, more important things to take care of. When a game like that's going on, don't go up to the coach and say, like, what did you think about this? Do you think your team gave up at the end or whatever? Because, like, what is he going to say? He's got other stuff to take care of.
Right, Brandon. And I couldn't agree with you more on those points. And my whole thing is, it's right. You know, how cranky do we get when you know, if someone's, you know, agitated, tired, had a bad day, and you take it out on the wrong people? Then at the end of the day, your cooler head prevails and you're like, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have snapped it. We've all done that. We've all done the friends. All done to family, man. I mean, I'm sure there was a point to where me and you were probably close to each other at one point to where we're just cranky. I mean,
are you sure? Because you and I, you know, I think we get along pretty well.
We do, but you never know. I mean, if there's any time I was cranky, I do apologize. But my take on it is, remember back when NFC Championship game, Aaron Andrews' infamous interview with Richard Sherman, and how he looked at that in that light, but the whole point was there. These guys are warriors. These guys are gladiators. He just made the defensive play to send his team to the Super Bowl, and this is what you get. You get rolling motion. You know, you're not going to get the whole, you know, an Oscar speech up on the stage where everybody's quiet and you have your minute of fame. It's pretty much you get these guys in the wild. And I don't blame Richard Sherman for doing that. And here's the thing. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, the reporter's got to, you know, do his job, but then Harbaugh's got to do it. I understand. Obviously, I'm not faulting Brent for doing that, because, to be honest with you, Brent gave me my first crack in the business. You know, if he's listening or if he ever does, a shout out to Brent. I've seen him a few times, actually saw him a few weeks ago on the golf course. I mean, I have nice things to say about him. So Brent didn't do his job bad. But here's the thing. I don't fart Harbaugh, because I think this team does need edge. And I like it. I like the fact that, you know, yeah, they were both probably wrong. They were both probably right. You can take it any angle you like, but I like the fact that Harbaugh had an edge to him and he was in battle and he's the leader of his troops. He had to go calming down. He probably didn't take lightly to what the Redskins were doing. And you're right. There was a lot of injuries. His best player got thrown out. So I don't fault him for that. I do fault him for, you know, being a little heated, but, and the look at the end was priceless, because they both exchanged heated looks. So I thought it was hilarious. But again, you know, I love the edginess. The team needs that. And I love the swagger. You know, it's, you know, I don't perceive Harbaugh as anything less than that, because we've all seen how he interacts, and he's very fiery, and he's very to the point. And I like that. He's blunt. You know, speak your mind. How often in this country is everybody just beats around the bush and, oh, I'm afraid to hurt somebody's feelings? I like the fact that just Harbaugh is real, and it showed. And raw emotion, and I love it. It's the raw emotion of sports. It happens. You cry, you laugh, you throw coolers, and in David Ortiz's case, you break phones. I mean, you see golfers throw clubs in the water. I mean, you see it. It's the raw emotion sports brings out. So, really don't, you know, everybody's like, oh, Harbaugh should apologize to him. I personally don't think so. I mean, reporters know what they're getting into, and we'd be in the media. I mean, if I, you know, go up and interview a, like you said, UFC fighter or Ronda Rousey after she just broke somebody's arm, I mean, you're going to get raw emotion. You know, and try to interview Brock Lesnar after he suplexes everybody. I mean, you're gonna get what you get, and you have to know that being in the business you are and in the people you interview. So, I mean, that's just my take on it. And again, I know we do our podcast. We're part of the, you know, I mean, I call ourselves media, but I mean, when it's all said and done, it's the Raw Motion Sports. I liked it. It was okay. But again, it's not a track record of horrible, so it's not a big deal to me, because you see Steve Smith. I mean, he's a fire guy. He gets in the fights. He pushes. He shoves. But, you know, Steve Smith's a competitor, and I think what it comes out is it's competitiveness in Harbaugh, and he wants to push the team to do better, and he's a leader. Speaking of that, how about, I think the tweet of the year goes out to Steve Smith's son. How about Steve Smith going up to his family and enjoying his view up there, and his son tweeting, "When your dad kicks out of the game," or something like that, and I thought that was like the tweet of the century right there, man.
I thought it was hilarious. Everybody and their mother retweeted that picture. That kid
got, I did too.
He said him and Kim Kardashian are the only two people to ever break the internet, and it's kind of true. You know, he definitely set the sports world on fire. But congrats to him. He's got plenty of followers now on Twitter. But one more thing on Harbaugh. You know, I got to work very closely with the Ravens for one of their practices with my former employer. I was taking pictures of Harbaugh, and he gave me the stink eye, you know, because I'm a guy who he doesn't know, and I got a camera, and I'm somewhat close to him, just snapping pictures away or whatever, and he kind of looked at me like, who the hell are you, and why are you in my space? So you know what? I just was like, all right, you're practicing. I backed up. I moved on, and I moved on to somebody else. So Harbaugh definitely has that kind of reputation of, like, when he's in the zone, don't bother him. But he has to be. That's what makes him a good coach. I would never want to be a sideline reporter due to the fact that you got to ask questions like that. Those questions that reporter did ask were not the greatest questions, but they're the kind of questions you have to ask at halftime. You have to bring up where the team went wrong and how to improve or whatever. But as a viewer and a fan, I hate those questions, because, like, you know, the coach is going to be like, yep, this team stinks. I hate it.
Have you ever seen Greg Popovich's interviews in the NBA? They're classic. They're like that. The reporter asks a question, and he'll answer it one word. Like, yep, mm-hmm. Nope. Like, how did your defense play? Bad.
Yeah.
What do you got to do? Better. Like, he's – and I love that. And it's, you know, it's almost like Marshawn Lynch. Like, you're only giving them what you need to.
Right.
And Bill Belichick's like that in Patriots. He's – how many times you watch an interview with Bill Belichick on NFL Network, and it's very vague, and reporters are asking the same questions, and he's like, nope. Or Brandon Marshall did that a few weeks ago with the whole Geno Smith incident. And a reporter's trying to bring it up, and Brandon Marshall was like, I'm here to talk football. I'm not here to talk that. And he just kept saying it over and over again, like, y'all have your football questions. We're done here. So yeah. These players know, you know, they know how the media is, and the media always tries to get negative news. So, and the players and coaches don't fall for it. They're not going to give them raw material that's going to be deemed negative by the team or anything detrimental. So yeah. They're smart.
Yeah. So
and I applaud them for that. And Marshawn Lynch is very classic about that as well, with how he behaves with the media. You know, it's the media and sports world. It's always going to be a war. That lay that to rest. But, you know, overall, you know, get away from that. I think the game, I think the starters play way better than in Philly. The offense, I mean, Flacco, and I'm going to break down that play because I didn't see it live, but I saw it. You can't teach that. That's Steve Smith veteran instinct, how he caught that ball, turned around, and did the curl route and knew that he had daylight in front of him, and he outran all those DBs, man. That's what he brings to the presence. And I think Crockett Gilmore, that sucked that was called back, because that was a play of the year right now, man. That was almost as good as the Max Williams hurdle over for the fourth down. How about Crockett Gilmore? That was awesome.
That was a great play, and if this was the regular season, I bet you that would have counted. You know, it got flagged off because of Kamari Aiken, but I highly doubt in the regular season that would have been called off. Great play. Let's talk about wide receiver here. A little bit more. Let's go a little bit more in depth with that, because that was the big thing the last couple of weeks was, oh, there's so many people at wide receiver. What's going to happen? Who's going to get cut? Who this, who that? The Ravens even put it out on their website. It's been pretty disappointing for the wide receiver, because nobody has really broken out. You know, right. Steve Smith has always looked great. Kamar Aiken is probably going to get the second tier job due to the fact that he's been with the team a little bit. He has looked good he's had a good training camp. But the rookie Breshad Perriman, no training camp whatsoever. Marlon Brown looking okay, but the most famous thing he's done in this training camp was get a ball thrown to him too high from Flacco. That was his big play of preseason. Darren Waller, we can talk a little bit about him too. He got put into plays with Flacco due to the fact that Steve Smith got ejected, and he showed a lot of rookie. He looked very green. He did not do very well in the wide receiver position. So let's talk a little bit about that. What did you see from this game with the wide receiver position? Obviously, Steve Smith, Kamar Aiken looked good, but
right.
But where is a place that talked about how deep we were? Where's the depth now?
I mean, you're pretty much looking at it. I mean, I really hate to say it's concerned, but it kind of is. I mean, you know, Marlon Brown's not performing. Kamar Aiken's number two receiver by default because he's playing there, and he's playing really, really solid. Steve Smith's a true number one on this team. He was last year. And you have Campanaro, Marlon Brown. I just wish he would just come into his own. He's a big physical receiver, and he's tall. Darren Waller has been pressed, so I think he makes the roster. But you're right, with Perriman not being there and stretching the field, I think this team's going to be limited to methodical offensive football. And I mean, Crockett Gilmore's there, but I think you're pretty much going to see, you know, move the chains football. I don't think you're going to see big plays right off the bat, unless Forsett runs a big one or if it's a nice screen pass. I mean, this team is going to conform to that. And I think Trestman's going to build the offense to that because they understand, look, we don't have a true burner. We don't have a Dez Bryant to throw down the field to, a Calvin Johnson, a Odell Beckham. We don't have these superstar receivers, Randall Cobb even, to, you know, take over the game. I mean, Steve Smith is going to do that in his own way. So I'm a little concerned there. But when it's all said and done, it's all about efficiency. I mean, I know that here's the thing, you know, we didn't have Steve Smith in Super Bowl run in 47, Super Bowl 47, but we had Anquan. Steve Smith's kind of that Anquan. Anquan was bigger and physical, but you figured we won a Super Bowl with Torrey Smith playing kind of mediocre. He made the plays he needed to, but he wasn't the, you know, all pro bowl receiver. You know, if you look at that, I mean, and I say this for a fact because you can't compare 2000, because 2000 was one on defense and we had Trent Dilfer, mm-hmm. quarterback, and we had receivers on that team that really didn't blow out the door, but we got the job done and scored enough points for the defense to hold. So that's a totally different scenario, Brandon. So that being said, we won as Jacoby made the mile high catch. He made another catch in the Super Bowl, and made some moves. So I think with all together, as long as this team makes plays, don't turn the ball over, I don't even care who's catching the ball, because as long as they got hands and they're solid and they're catching the ball and doing their jobs, you know, I think it's all going to go well. And as long as each guy does their role and does their job and Crockett does his thing, and if they're pass blocking with the line, if we're run blocking and Forsett hits his lean, I think this team's going to be okay. Some depth. I mean, we didn't really have depth the last few years, and we made deep playoff runs. Mm-hmm. And that's my opinion. I mean, had Torrey Smith, Jacoby Jones, Anquan Boldin, and apart from that, who was the other guy? I mean, Marlon Brown stepped in his own 2 years ago, but that's my point here, man. It's, we really haven't had a deep receiving core yet. We've still gotten the job done and made the playoffs out of 7 years. I'm not complaining. And our best receiver in that run was basically Anquan Boldin. So I'm not complaining right now to where we're at. I mean, I'd like to be better, but and have our Super Bowl receivers, but the way this team's been playing, I'm not concerned.
Well, that's very good to know, because like we brought up, there's been a lot of injuries. We've already talked about Perriman, but you know, Campanaro, who looked really good in the first first game, he didn't play the last two. Max Williams didn't play the last game up against the Redskins, so he hasn't been doing well. But wide receiver, you know, we're talking about different targets, who like Waller needs a little bit more work, or who can you throw to? If you can't throw to a lot of guys, you got to go with running the ball a lot. And I'm definitely okay with Justin Forsett. I think him and Flacco have done phenomenal in the preseason. But then you got to worry about who's going to back up Forsett, because with Taliaferro out for a good couple weeks, you got to worry about Buck Allen. We saw Buck Allen up against the Redskins. Let me know, what did you think of Buck Allen?
He's going to be okay. And his debut is tomorrow night in the game because he's pretty much going to start for us because Forsett and all them guys aren't going to see action. So we're going to really get to see how he is tomorrow and see if he makes the final roster. So very excited to see that. I really can't wait to see how that pans out. But no, I'm impressed with the kid so far. I mean, and it sounds like I'm overly excited. I mean, I am, but I want to see more. I mean, but it's not like he's dogging it or sucking it for any reason. It's pretty much he's the rookie. He's got some rust. He's got to get used to the NFL. But from what I've seen, I think we're going to be okay. I'm not really too concerned right now unless I see something very drastic. But from what I've seen, I think we're going to really be okay with Buck or Javorius Allen, obviously, as our backup. For right now, until TFL gets fully healthy. And this team really needs to be healthy because right now I think we're tied with the league in injuries. And I mean, Timmy Jernigan went down this week, and I was pretty concerned to see that. It was a knee, it's minor.
I was holding my breath when that happened.
Oh my gosh, because he's taking Helody's place, and yeah, we really need that.
He's supposed to be like the insurance of why it was okay to let go of Helody Nada. Like, he was the guy that they're like, we can build on him. And to see him go down, I was just like, good God, what is going to happen now?
Yes. But with that being said, he's going to be okay, but I heard good things about Carl Davis being solid. So with our rookie addition there, so I think our front seven, and we already know Suggs has looked like playing out of his mind. He had a pick in the game, so and he's been really active. I mean, obviously getting after Bradford in the Philly game, he's been active. I mean, he had a few mental mishaps with penalties late, 2 weeks ago in Philly, but that happens. I mean, you know, we all have bad games, and that was a bad game all around. But I really think as a whole, with the starters in the game, it was 13-0. The Crockett Gilmore touchdown got called back. It could have been 21-0. I think the Ravens were manhandling the Redskins first team, no problem. And both on both sides, I mean, and they couldn't move the ball. And obviously, when the second team came in, we were god awful horrible. So we already know, I mean, Schaub was just pathetic. It seemed like when Renner was in the game, we had some life with the second and 13 mixed up there. So we just really hope, knock on wood, that Flacco keeps healthy all 16 games again this year, because if Schaub goes down, I really think Renner might take the second position from him. But, apart from what I've seen, big improvement over the Philly game. Mm-hmm. I was really impressed all around, and I think for the final time we'll get to see him until Denver. I'm really okay with what I've seen so far, and I'm not too overly concerned going into Denver, especially the question marks they have over there. So, with the health of Peyton's arm and now they're running their offense and getting used to Kubiak there. So, again, with that game, we'll break down that next week. But yeah. I think right now, I really think this team is we're solid. I'm not concerned right now going on thing. And there's a lot of media writers and a lot of buzz this week that the Ravens are the team to beat in AFC North. And what I've seen of Pittsburgh, their defense is old. They're going to be without it's already Martavis Bryant's at a 4-game suspension, so they're going to be with their second-best wide receiver on that team, and they lost their center for a year. Ben Roethlisberger might be sacked a lot. The Browns might be the team to push us, and I don't think the Bengals be like the Bungles, as they usually are. It might be us in Cleveland. Cleveland might surprise people. Again, that lies on the quarterback play. But speaking of quarterback play, they touched on the Redskins game. How about the Redskins actually breaking the news that Kirk Cousins is going to start, man? How about a mess down there?
That is a mess down in D.C., but
I don't even want to touch it.
I agree with the call. I think Kirk Cousins deserves the starting spot. I even think that the backup to their backup was pretty good. I don't know if I would go with RG3 at this point. I think, if anything, he's trade bait right now.
I agree on that. And speaking of that, I want to touch, because I don't know what's up with NFC East media, but I fired back at another one, because you remember how I touched on the media member who was tweeting about Suggs, and I put him in his place. Now, another Redskins media member went to Twitter and actually has it saved here. The media member said, Ravens, and this is his tweet, quote, Ravens really bothered by Keenan Robinson's unnecessary violent hit. Wonder if they were mad at Terrell Suggs' hit on Bradford last week. So I kind of get a little, I was like, what is up with these NFC East writers? They don't get a clue. So I said, okay, so let's allow Suggs to power drive Jackson or Garcon. Well, Nada already took out your beloved QB, ... Then I responded again with a tweet saying, apparently Suggs did what was within the rules. Don't think an Undertaker tombstone move isn't. So I don't think these NFC East writers, they don't know football for some reason.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's just...
I mean,
the starting gig.
Yeah, exactly. I think it could be, but it's just to me, it does. I mean, I know they're, you know, they're media like us, and they can say their opinion, but it's just like, don't take shots like that unless you really have any grounds for it. I'm like, of course we weren't mad. We weren't mad about Suggs and Bradford because it was legal. So why would we be mad? I mean, it wasn't our team. So to me, his jab didn't really even make sense at all. So, and in my valid point, Kirk Cousins is the starter of things. Hello, Donato, who's now in Detroit. So it's kind of like, who really gonna point fingers at here?
Right.
But you know, we're not mad at the Eagles or Bradford. You should be mad at us for knocking out your quarterback 2 years ago. So it's kind of like, you know, I just don't understand it. But we have to deal with them. They're not in our league, not in our division, and have fun down there. But
we'll see you next preseason. Yeah. We'll see you
exactly. We'll see him next preseason. But when all said and done, we have a game to play tomorrow against the Atlanta Falcons. It's a short week. We're going to see a lot of second and third stringers. Javorius Allen's going to start at running back. I think Matt Schaub's going to take the reins at starting the quarterback for the position. You're not going to see any starters, which is rightfully so in the fourth preseason game. It's all about jobs on the line. So tomorrow is a true, true job interview. You're mm-hmm. seeing these guys because we got to go roster cuts from 75 to 53 next week because the NFL season's right around the corner, man. I mean, we're sitting here, September 2nd. We all are 11 days away, my friend.
That's right.
Right now, recording the show. 11 days to our season opener. Can you believe it?
That's pretty great. And, you know, a lot of people like to skip this fourth game. They don't like to watch it. They don't like to make a big deal about it. But I think this year specifically is a big deal because you brought it up before in the show, how the starters all look really great. You know, when Steve Smith, Joe Flacco, Terrell Suggs, all those guys are on the field, everything is clicking and everything looks good. But as we were just talking about, when the second team comes out, you know, the quality of football goes down. So what we need right now in this game is to see who could back up players if someone were to get hurt, because you want your second team to be the best it can be. Because think about this right now. All right. In the last two games, we haven't seen Kelechi Osemele at all.
Nope.
Well, Rich Wagner, I think, missed the game against Philadelphia, but I believe he played in the Redskins game. So we saw him come back. When those two are on the field blocking for Flacco, Flacco's got much more time, and Flacco can get the ball and wait for somebody to get open and let plays develop. Without them, Joe kind of loses that pocket, and he's got to throw the ball away and whatever else. So if you watch this game, this fourth game, it's important to know that some of these guys you might see if a player were to go down, because the injury bug has definitely hit the Ravens in the preseason. Here's another big name.
Man.
Yeah, here's another big name that I'm going to bring up, and everyone's talking about this guy. What's going to happen? Lardarius Webb. He the first day he didn't pass the conditioning test. Now he has a hamstring injury. I don't think he's played in any of the preseason games. So you're definitely looking for a guy who's supposed to be a leader here, potentially not playing the first week. So you got to look at the secondary with these second string guys, because potentially you could see one of those players come up, because Lardarius, you can't really count on him to be healthy.
You can. I mean, at this point, it's kind of like you're playing for that spot. If you're shining and someone's dogging it, especially with an injury, it's the next man up, and they're going to have to put the best 53 men together. I mean, we're already down to 75, but a few people on the PUP list, and I mean, a few notable names. I mean, they waive Darryl Baldwin, they waive tackle DeAndre Wesley. Now, I mean, they go to 75 to 53 by Saturday at 4 p.m. So they play this game tomorrow, recording with just Wednesday night. They play the game on Thursday, and within 2 days from them, they got to make evaluations. So it's going to be a busy Purple Friday this week, because the Ravens got to make decisions on who we're going to put down for Saturday's 4 o'clock deadline for the 53-man roster. So, because the NFL season, starting on Sunday, it's a countdown. We're in single digits going into season, and it's preparing for Denver week starting on Monday,
mm-hmm.
probably even as early as Sunday, depending on how the team gives them the day off. Again, I mean, it's going to be a quick evaluation. So, the microscope is going to be on these guys, especially with the injuries. We can't afford any injuries. So the key to the game is, I don't even care if the Falcons beat us 50 to nothing. I don't even care if we score a single point. Just please stay healthy out there. No, no doctor visits, no ankle wraps, no broke shoulders, no, oh, I hurt. No, we don't need to see injury timeouts for the purple and black. We need to keep it clean. And I really hope the Falcons don't you know, impose their will and do the same thing, and we just want a good, clean football game. I'm sure Atlanta Falcons want the same for their guys, too, because they're doing the thing we are. They're in the same boat. They cut down to 75. They got a good 53, and it's a league-wide deadline, and it has to happen. So with both sides, I think it's going to be a game. Not going to see any starters. The whole, you know, Matt Ryan versus Juke, you know, I mean, we already know which one's better, number five, obviously. So it's going to be that game where I really can't wait to see it. I'm going to be you know, evaluating that and seeing what talent makes it. I'm going to make some notes on who I thought was better and who I think might make the roster, and I might put them names out on Twitter saying after the game, here's who I think might make final 53. I'm not going to put all 53 guys out there, but a few notable names that I might see out there saying might a little bit of dark horses, but that's what we're looking out for. There's really much not to this game to really preview. You know, just again, you know, I don't care about the score. I care about health and performance.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, I'm definitely going to be looking at who's in the secondary and who's going to be guarding our quarterback. Those are the two spots that have me the most worried. I think that the starting line on both sides of the ball look great, but there's always a big question mark when it comes to Kelechi and when it comes to Lardarius Webb. So I'm looking at who can back those two players up if come game time on the regular season, they can't go out and they're injured. So that's what I'm going to be looking for in the fourth, in this fourth preseason game. Obviously, Matt Schaub, you know, you're not going to expect him to take Joe Flacco's place at all, but you want him to play a little bit better than he has, given his little time that he will play. But hey, you know, we got to say congratulations though. Tyrod Taylor gets the starting QB job up in Buffalo. You know, you can't,
that's awesome.
You can't be mad at that guy. You know, he wanted to be a starting QB somewhere. He fought for it and he got it. So congrats to him, man.
That's great. And we seen what some of he can do here in the preseason, obviously. And when he came in sparingly, when we had the game in hand, in the fourth quarter, a few games in the regular seasons over the past few years. So, really congratulate former Raven Tyrod Taylor. Knew we drafted him as our backup. It's always good to see these guys, you know, take out and shine. I mean, it happened with Derek Anderson. He went to Cleveland and started for a few years there, a season or two. So, you know, I'll always like to see former Ravens, you know, they don't work out here, they get cut, and they go another team and they shine. And that's about the NFL. It's about opportunity, and it's about putting your best foot forward when you're out, when your time shines. And that's why I liked, when Renner's in the game, because it's like, maybe he'll get his crack. You know, we've seen what he can do. He's been shining good so far. So maybe it'll be time to evaluate him one time. And I really wish Tyrod well this season. Really hope they beat the Patriots in week two, I believe they play. So that's their home opener. So really hope that they can take it to him. And, you know, if they do play well, maybe we'll see him in the playoffs. And that would be great because Rex Ryan's at the helm of that team. And that'll be a war. Former Raven assistant and former Raven quarterback. So that'll be a good thing to pump up for that playoff game. But obviously we have to play all 16 games to get there and see how it all pans out. But yeah, very congratulations to Tyrod. I'm really, really excited to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. So anything else we got to cover for this show? Did we miss anything?
Did we miss anything? Got to ask me a better question than that. I was saving it all the show. I was going to put it in the beginning when you were like, how you doing, man? I'm like, I didn't want to start off with that. Let me, or I should just say, instead of saying I'm bad at halftime speeches, I'm bad at podcasts. I don't know what I'm doing. But anyway, I got a channel on my inner horrible, but no, we covered it to the max for this one, man.
All right, very cool. If you want to continue to talk Baltimore Ravens football, we love hearing from you guys. You can always tweet to Josh or I. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet to me at Italian GQ52.
All right, very cool. Go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. We are constantly putting up articles that we've read, pictures that we like, videos we like. Josh, you are a posting machine, man. He's constantly, you know, keeping everybody entertained with all the Ravens good stuff. Always talking to people. So definitely go over to facebook.com.
Oh, yeah. You've been noticing that?
Oh, yeah.
I've been beefing up the calls, Facebook page, man. Any good links I see, any good stories, I'm putting it out there. Any good memes out there, Purple Friday, any Ray Lewis quotes. You got to get out there, man.
Absolutely.
It's social media.
Yeah.
What we do.
It's awesome. So make sure you go over to that Facebook page and like it, and you'll get all kinds of cool Ravens information. You know, we're a weekly podcast, but we never stop thinking about the Ravens. So we're constantly posting, and it's mostly Josh. I'm not going to lie. It's mostly Josh Potion stuff. So congrats on that, man. You're like the king of Facebook. You're like the new Zuckerberg. You're the Zuckerberg of the call.
I wouldn't say that. I'm waiting for the next roll in, if that's the case, and we can go retire. But no. I appreciate that, Brandon. I was going to say, I know you sometimes respond to some of the media out there. I know some of the comments, and sometimes you're quick on it than I am, but you're always joking. You know, it wasn't me when it was 2 in the morning responding. Because I'm always just, I get antsy, man. I'm always up and watching some old DVDs, or I'll be watching NFL Network, or I'll watch America's Game. I just get pumped. I'm like, or I'm reading a story about the Ravens, or I'm writing, and it's just kind of like, just I'm going there and just start talking to people, man. I love it.
That's great, man. You're doing that at 2. I'm sleeping. I enjoy my
There's
sleep.
There's no time restraints around here. We're available 24/7 to talk Ravens. We don't stop. We don't stop thinking about this team, breathing this team. This is what we do.
Absolutely. So go over to facebook.com/BrandoCash. That's where you'll see pictures, photos, or that's the same thing, videos, podcasts, everything that we do. You will be the first one to know about it on our Facebook page. You can also go to BrandoCash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about the call and all the other podcasts that we do. As always, guys, you got to be social with the show. This is all you got, man. Listen. You guys write us an iTunes review, you do a little screen capture, you email it to me at brandocashpods@gmail.com, and you will get the full-length intro song to our podcast. It's a 4.5-minute song recorded by our buddies Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly. It uses lines from The Raven from Edgar Allan Poe. It's got an awesome beat. It's something you really got to listen to on game day. But after this last preseason game, guys, it goes in the vault, and I don't know when it's going to come back out. So we need you guys to write us an iTunes review. Give us as many stars as you want, as little as you want. But all you got to do is say, hey, I like the call. You should listen to it too on iTunes. Send us a screen grab at brandocashpods@gmail.com, and you'll get yourself a free song. You guys get this show for free. Now we're giving you guys music for free. How cool is that? Ravens Nation worldwide enjoying anything to do with Baltimore Ravens football, but we need you guys to continue to spread the word about the show. Share links to our page. All you got to do, go on to Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you are social on the web. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call. They're getting me ready for this regular season. You should listen to this show too. They're available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, anywhere that podcasts are available. The call is available. All you guys got to do is tell people about it. Help us get even bigger and better. You know, I love seeing our download numbers. I love talking to you guys. Let's continue the conversation. Let's make it bigger than it already is. Ravens Nation worldwide. I think that should be our new hashtag. But
absolutely.
You know what? One more preseason game left. Josh, get us ready, man. Take us out the way you always do.
Thanks, Brandon. Always appreciative. And everybody, it's here. We're right on the verge. 4th preseason game. I know. I don't want to watch it, but it's Ravens football, guys. I mean, I'll be watching, evaluating the talent, as I disclosed to you. Anytime our guys play, whether it's a practice, a scrimmage, I mean, hey, 22,000 people show up for a practice at M&T Bank Stadium. So we know Ravens Nation will be watching. Don't kid yourself. Like, I'm not gonna entertain that. I got better things to do. We got better things to do on a Thursday night than watch the 4th Ravens preseason. Come on. You're not true, Ravens Nation. We already know we're going to be evaluating the talent. We can't wait to see who the 53 mighty men of Baltimore are going to be for us this year in 2015. Who's going to be taking the roster spots? Your guess is as good as mine, but we all find out soon enough. And these evaluations will take place in Atlanta on Thursday night. I really can't wait to get after it. It's going to be a Ravens football. We got one more week. The countdown begins. Right now we are sitting at 11 days and counting. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high to end this preseason.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.